I'm Wayne.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer from the Starling Tribune,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3,
2, 1.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Coming to you live from the Legend Studios via the interwebs, it's the Legends Entertainment News Stream. I'm the operator.
I'm Wing.
And that's it.
We were missing comic book legends, so we're like, hey, let's kick everybody out.
Yeah, we're just going to do this for right now. Yes, we are vegan tonight. There is no beef. There is no Neil. Unfortunately, Neil has other things he needs to take care of, and Beef has tech issues. So, yeah.
Beef has... We're sorry, dude.
Like, really bad. So, dude, yeah, it's... Ouch. It's not good.
He's trying to fix it. We're praying for a fast recovery of the mm-hmm. tech.
Most definitely. And, yeah, so basically I'm going to start talking to myself now. Op, what time is it? News time!
Damn right it is.
Yes. Before we get too far into it... I think I can speak for everybody on the Gunna Geek Network. Nichelle Nichols, recover soon, feel better. Last night, unfortunately, she had a mild stroke.
Oh, dear.
She went to the hospital. They are checking her out now. The news was published on her Facebook page. So speedy recovery. Hope everything works out okay. The original Uhura. I mean, come on. Just, yeah.
There's only Bill Shatner that's indestructible.
Pretty much. Pretty damn much. So, and George Takei, he's still around. And
George Takei is still around and he's still funny. And
Walter Koenig is chilling out and everything. So, you know, they got those guys, you know, hanging out. But, yeah, feel better, Nichelle. And let's go on to comic book news. Some of the releases this week are Secret Wars number 3. You got your Secret Wars Amazing Spider-Man number 1, where you got the Peter Parker Mary Jane thing going on. Secret Wars Future Imperfect, which is exactly how the title is indicating. It's got the Maestro and all that other stuff, and it's being done by Peter David, who wrote the original miniseries.
And that last one.
Star Wars number 6. Which leads me to the first story of the comic book news. I did not see this coming. I don't think anyone saw this coming in Star Wars 6.
Wait.
Go ahead.
In case you don't live on the internet, we're still going to give a spoiler alert there.
Yes.
But
major spoiler. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler all up in your face hole.
Yeah. So if you don't want to hear about it, probably fast forward a good 2 minutes.
Good 2 minutes.
There's going to be some weird bitching.
Yes. Okay. Han Solo is married.
Okay.
Han Solo is married.
Yeah, this chick just happened there. Was like, I'm his wife, and you're like, wait, what?
When did this happen exactly? Apparently, he was married all along, as far as like the New Hope was concerned, they haven't gone too far into her character yet. But she seems to be a bounty hunter or a smuggler or whatever, and she is hunting down Han and Leia, who are on this mission. Now, the story takes place, obviously, like a few months after A New Hope. So, basically, during this whole time, he's flirting with Leia and being, you know, a scruffy-looking nerd herder. He was married.
Yeah, but what kind of marriage is this? Is this, like, a real marriage, or is that a Firefly marriage, like...
See, that's the thing. I don't know if he, you know, offered someone soup and suddenly he's married, or if there's like a real marriage and they're just estranged or separated or whatever, or what the deal is, but...
Or is she reverse song, you know?
She's apparently in some way, shape, or form married to the dude.
So we'll see where that goes, because it's often in comics, and I'm going to get into my soapbox for a little second.
Mm.
Often in comics, they give you that big reveal like that at the end of one, and then the first mm-hmm. 2 page of the next one, they destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Star Wars comic Marvel needed to be back in the paper. I mean, in the news and everything.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, well, they achieved that pretty well, because it was everywhere.
It was. It was. When the news broke this morning, it was like, what? Wait, what?
Well, I'm still like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the other thing, and we've mentioned this before on the cast. These comics, these Star Wars comics, are canon. So somewhere in the story, dude's married.
Well, that's where I'm going with, okay, are they going to recount this at the start of the next one? Or is this already starting to be a messy canon? And
I think it's going to have to be canon at this point because it's too close to the release of the movie.
Well, like I said,
we're only 6 months away. They haven't even gone deep into the character until next month. So that means it's going to be 5 months away till the movie.
Yeah, but they still have time to retcon it if they want.
Yeah, but I don't think so. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that she may even be even associated with A Force Awakens. But
yeah.
This is kind of like, dude, you're married. What the fuck?
Does he have children from that first marriage?
That's another question. Do they have kids? Are there kids somewhere? Is there a little Solo running around that we don't know about?
That could be cool.
That could be cool.
But I don't want to learn about it in a comic.
No. No. And that's why I think she's not going to be associated with Force Awakens, because that would just be too much to deal with. If it's like just backstory kind of stuff, okay, fine. But yeah, I'm really hoping that, you know, this is a terrible thing to say considering they just brought her in. I'm really hoping they offer at some point.
Yeah.
Because she can't. It would be too much for the fan, but not rabid fan of Star Wars movies to deal with. Because that means they would have to go back, buy all these comics that they didn't intend to buy in the first place. They just want to see the movie and enjoy it. And that would just be too, you know, for them.
At this point, they know, though, that, I'm sorry, all comic fan around there, but they know that the comic fan base is kind of small if you look at the grand plan. I mean,
yeah.
Millions of people see the movies, not millions of people that read the comics. Well, maybe millions, but not that much.
Yeah.
So they have to take that into consideration. My mother doesn't want to read a comic. Not a Star Wars one, anyway.
Right. And the other thing is, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the cast, September 4th is coming fairly quickly. And September 4th is going to be the big merchandise release.
We're going to learn so much stuff that day.
It's going to be ridiculous. Stores are going to open at midnight. This is like Christmas.
Last time they did that, they were selling Jar Jar Binks action figure.
That's true. God.
People forget fast.
Now they're going to burn Jar Jar action figures.
Maybe.
And speaking of comics and Secret Wars and all that stuff, they're going to be 60 Marvel number ones.
That's like, frack you, New 52.
Yeah.
616, no?
It's just, that's a lot of comics. That's a crap ton of comics. But the other thing is, they've assured everybody that it's not going to be a full reboot. What it's going to be is, they're not going to, you know, throw away all of the decades of history. They're just going to say, okay, this is the new status quo for everybody. This is what's going to happen from here on in.
No more X-Men.
No, I think they're going to be X-Men. I just don't know what they're going to do with them.
I know. I was referencing the other story. I know it's not in the news, but Marvel every year makes a poster with all their characters on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they print the poster and they sell it and they put it on merchandise and a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they omitted the Fantastic Four and the X-Men.
Yes, they did.
Wolverine is not on the Marvel poster.
Nope. Now, supposedly, according to, you know, this story from Comic Book Resources, they are bringing back Wolverine, but he may not be Logan.
They're building their own Wolverine.
They're building their own Wolverine because they're basically saying, fuck you, Fox, we're just going to do it ourselves.
That's wow.
That's wild. That's freaking wild. The fact that there's going to be basically four spider-powered people. You got your Peter Parker, your Miles Morales, your Gwen Stacy, and your Spider-Woman.
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that. I just want to know what they're going to call Miles Morales, because they can't call him Spider-Man. Because that'd just be, he's out in the street fighting people, and he's like, but you look like Spider-Man, but you're not Spider-Man, and oh, that's Spider-Man over there.
Spider-Boy.
Spider-Kid.
Yeah.
Ultimate Spider. They call him Ultimate Spider.
They could call him Ultimate Spider. But, yeah. You know, you're a supervillain, and you see a guy in a spider suit. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man. That's a little Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's a little it's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
It's a tiny Spider-Man.
Tiny Spider-Man. But the other thing that surprised me about this was they're keeping Steve Rogers old.
Why?
I don't know. They're keeping Steve Rogers old. They're keeping Sam as Captain America. I don't get that.
Maybe Marvel Movie Division likes that.
Maybe for I don't know. But speaking of Marvel Movie Division, on the new picture that has come out today, actually, that shows a couple of characters from the new Marvel universe, and basically this is going to be the status quo from here on in, blah 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 blah. Phil Coulson is on there.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. That is absolutely, totally fucking cool, because it is bringing a movie character permanently into the comic book world.
Yep.
Which is, they have not done that. Actually, I don't think they've done that since Harley Quinn.
Well, the character,
the TV character,
needs
that
to be really impactful, and that character was.
Yeah.
I would debate if it still is or not. But that's beside the point.
Right.
But it was. So that's nice that they acknowledge it. And let's face it, the way they build S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies,
mm-hmm.
now they have something interesting, and they're rebooting, so they can install that in a decent way. So
right.
it's fun to have more character than just like Nick Fury.
And also, I got to take a minute and just congratulate Clark Gregg for this, because he has said repeatedly, when he first did Iron Man, he was already a huge fan of Marvel.
Yes.
Like, he collected all the comics, and he was just a huge geek. Can you imagine huge geek, and then you're in the movies, and then you're in a couple of movies, and now your character is instilled in the universe?
And you have your own TV show.
And you have your own TV show.
And all that because you said to a friend, yeah, sure, I can do 2 days of
shooting. Yeah, sure, I can be in your movie. Cool.
Yeah.
With a couple of throwaway lines. He wasn't supposed to be in it beyond that movie.
And that was a last minute thing. You know, it's when things work.
They do.
And,
it's true.
And if I can bring an element of the ever-growing Marvel DC discussion, I think that's where Marvel stroke genius in a lightning in a bottle, if you want, mm-hmm. is that they threw a bunch of thing there and they were like, let's see if it stick. And it all stuck. And when they tried to do it the second time, it didn't. They were like, oh, let's do that less often.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that they may have done that again with the last Avengers, but I'll keep that argument for another day. My point is that now DC is trying to make that on purpose, and that makes it even more difficult.
So. Well, it's like they're trying too hard. DC is trying too hard. They want to have the lightning in a bottle, you know, just suddenly happen, and it doesn't always work that way. You can't make that happen.
Yeah, so we'll see how good their second effort is. The first mm-hmm. effort was fun. So
Yeah. And we have talked about this on the cast as well. Beef, Wing, and myself all liked Man of Steel. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was decent. Didn't think it was terrible.
I thought it was freaking great, but that's me.
Yeah, I can't hate on it. I just can't. I know a lot of people do. I just can't. I can't be one of those people. Now, don't get me wrong. The next movie could suck. Or, you know, Suicide Squad could suck. Or, you know, whatever. But just be careful. Don't. Push it.
See the movie first.
See the movie and just, yeah. So anyway, I'm going to blame Nick Lachey and Twix for this, because apparently DC Comics. Now, the thing is, comic books have always had ads. Always.
Yes.
And usually they are like these full page ads that are on page 3 and maybe towards the end and, you know, the back cover. That's pretty much it. For reasons that are monetary, DC
reasons are already always monetary. Come on.
DC has decided to do half page ads.
Yep.
In their comics. And their first half page ad is going to be Nick Lachey eating a Twix.
The concept of a half page ad in a comic
it's
is
so
horrendous.
Bad. It's so bad. Because it's so bad.
You're cutting half the art of a page to give me an ad?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay, I get the point that now I don't have, I have no choice to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to look at it.
No.
So no. I'm not buying Twix anymore. You should all do the same. Let's start a movement.
Start a movement. Not buy Twix. Honestly, I kind of like Twix, but I don't eat them all that often. You know what? I'll eat them less.
Yeah. Because I'm like, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, I know. I'll eat them less. There, take that.
Take that, Twix.
Yeah.
But no, half page ad, no.
It's
no,
just
no.
A dumb move. Visually, it's visually jarring.
On the other hand,
really
they are sending me to go buy online.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they are it's getting to the point where you're just going to want to do digital because the ads. Yeah.
So don't do it.
Yeah. Okay, on to online media. This week, as we record this, as a matter of fact, tomorrow night, it will be Sense8, which I'm hearing very good things about. I got to disagree with the whole, you know, oh, Wachowski's got their mojo back. Yeah, maybe so, but J. Michael Straczynski wrote the script. So,
we'll
may want to look into that part of it.
I'm going to wait for reviews.
Okay.
Because that's where the Wachowski are right now in my box. It's like
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. I'm going to watch it, you know, over the weekend, this weekend, mainly because of J. Michael Straczynski. I am a fan. I like what he can do with TV. So I will watch it and, you know, cross my fingers. By the way, Doctor Who fans, Martha Jones is in this. So
Martha Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen Jupiter Ascending. You haven't.
I have not.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that. No. I saw. We talked about the video that you know they just talked about the entire plot.
Yes.
I was like, no. I'm good. Thank you.
And it's accurate. That's the worst thing.
Yeah. So there's also another series on Netflix called Between.
Between?
Between, which started up a few weeks ago. And it is now. Here's the thing: the drawback to this, it is a once a week thing.
Okay.
So it bucks the Netflix system and it goes to like the usual shit. The thing is, it's very good, but because it is not, you know, I think people who use Netflix are so used to the binge vibe that when they don't get it, it's like, I don't want to wait a week for this. I want to see it all right now so I can judge it.
Gimme.
Exactly. So, but it's good so far. It's only up to episode 2. Tomorrow is, I believe, episode 3. So, but it's not bad. It's basically about this plague that wipes out all of the adults in this small town, and everybody who is under the age of 22 survives.
Oh, that's an interesting premise.
Yeah. Yeah, and the government has walled it off. It's like it just last week they started like getting rid of the bodies. So this is like it's long, it's drawn out. There's a lot of good character development and everything, but like I said, I'm used to the gimme. So
gimme.
Speaking of gimme, in Netflix, there is going to be more Arrested Development.
Gimme. Better than last season, please.
Yes, there you go.
That's it. I mean, I want more, but you know what you used to do? And not like we have to manage all the schedule and, oh, screw it. Let's not manage them.
Yeah, don't do that. No. Don't do that. So, and
more community?
Possibly more community.
Please?
I think Yahoo likes the fact that it helped them make a little bit of money for their new streaming television thing. So it's there. They want it. It depends on if Dan Harmon and everybody else wants it, because the way they ended the last episode, it does feel like a series finale.
Yeah, but so, it does feel like that after every season, because they never know if they're going to get the next season. But
this is true.
I'm in the middle of that one because it just finished, so I started it. And I like this one a lot. So, yeah, I want more Community. I mean, yes, I've binge-watched it a bunch this year, but I'm in love with this show. So, please.
Yeah. So,
I started watching Entourage. Because the movie
really?
Everybody's starting about it.
And?
Damn, this is a good show.
Okay, I'm going to warn you now. What season are you watching?
I'm at episode 3 of season 1.
Okay. Don't go past season 4.
You're not the first guy who tells me that. Like, watch on the first. Some people said 5, maybe.
5, yeah. I would say stop at 4. Stop at 4.
Okay. What still?
Don't get me wrong. If you're interested in the entertainment industry and stuff like that, it's a fun show to watch because it is a riff on everything in the entertainment industry. Everything. But after season 4, it becomes really dumb. Just really dumb. Like, they should have stopped at that point, and they just didn't.
Okay.
So,
I'll keep watching it until it's not intelligent anymore.
Okay.
Because at this point it is, and it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The first couple of seasons are actually very, very good. It just became really stupid and douchey after that. So, Justice League Gods and Monsters. Now, I originally wasn't even going to bring this thing up because a couple of months ago, Justice League, the story came out about Justice League Gods and Monsters. It was going to be an original DVD release from DC. And we have been burned by DC. DC is very hit and miss. Sometimes they are extremely good.
Sometimes you get the Dark Knight Return or Year One.
And sometimes they are extremely bad.
Batman, Animal Instinct. Dear God, anything, this thing looks
anything
horrendous.
With Justice League. Anything with Justice League was not good.
Yeah, that is true.
But the premise for this seemed interesting, which it was going to be this, basically it was going to be an alternate reality Earth where you would have a Wonder Woman who was basically working with a God of War, Ares. You would have Kurt Langstrom as Batman.
Wow, okay.
And Superman was not Kal-El, he was the son of Zod, who was raised by migrant workers, so he had been, like, pretty much oppressed and, you know, poor and angry and bitter. So, you have that, and I was like, okay, that's interesting, but I'm going to wait until the DVD comes out before I suggest it to the guys that maybe we should watch it. But then, about a month ago, word came out that DC was going to do a string of comics that were going to be prequels to this, which was something that had not been done.
Okay.
Everything was just like, okay. So DC was really starting to put a lot of effort behind this thing. But this week, on Machinima, which is one of the largest original content providers for video out here in the U.S., is going to do a series of Justice League Gods and Monsters. So we've gone from a DVD to a DVD with a comic book prequel to a DVD with a comic book prequel to an original series by Bruce Timm.
Yeah, Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett. Those are the guys who created the animated series. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, give all that to these guys. Give them their own series of movies too. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just open the money floodgate. You want your Kevin Feige of DC? Hire these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Because these guys are not only fans, but they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
They really do. So when this news came out, now I'm all about this. I have to see the DVD and I have to read the comics just to see what these fuckers are going to do. But as we record this, that is going to be released online on Machinima the 8th. So that is next Thursday, I believe. So be on the lookout for that. If DC is putting this much effort behind this, that means something positive is happening. They wouldn't put this much effort behind it if it sucked.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it made me tangent on something completely different, but kind of interesting. Would you imagine that, let's say, in Batman Superman, when Batman is in the cowl and he has his voice modulated, it would be the Batman from the animated series, Kevin Conroy?
That would be too awesome. That would be too awesome for words. That I think geeks would lose their damn minds if that happened.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not like Optimus Prime and Transformers. They cannot just plug the voice, but
That would be sweet. That would be fucking sweet.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. Okay. So, TV news. As we record tonight, Hannibal. I caught up over the weekend, over the last three episodes.
I haven't caught up yet.
I forgot how beautifully this was shot, how beautifully this was acted, how beautifully this was written, and how impossibly nightmare-inducing it is.
Ooh, so it's still as good as it was.
It's still as good as I remember it. It's just, I'm watching this thing, and it's nothing but pretty. Just all around beautifully done.
So pretty. I'm so pretty.
Yes, I cannot wait for this. So, as we record this, Hannibal, if you're not watching it, the show is not for the squeamish. If you have any kind of issue with, you know, gore or implied gore, don't. It will mess with you for a very, very long time. Unlike Wing, I would highly recommend you not watch it back to back.
Yeah, I would highly recommend. Actually, no, that was a good experience. I was looking at everything. I was vegetarian for a little while.
You would be after watching something like this. Because the thing is, it's theater of the mind. It's implied cannibalism, implied gore in a lot of cases. And some of the visual images are so disturbing. It's like somebody reached into your worst nightmare and put it on the screen.
Yep. That's a good description of that show.
And that's really, but the thing is, it's so beautifully shot, you can't take your eyes off of it.
It's
like, I should look away, but I can't because it's so fucking perfect.
I should look away, but why would I?
Yeah. So, cannot wait. So, Fear the Walking Dead will be apparently different from Walking Dead, but still with zombies. Basically, this is going to start at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse while Rick is knocked out. So those who are familiar with Walking Dead, Rick woke up and boom, zombie apocalypse. Everything went to hell. This is going to start off when it just happened. So one of the descriptions they used is, imagine if you're, for instance, in a Starbucks. You're just waiting in line for your whatever. And somebody behind you seems, you know how they see people are when they're hungover? Their heads are drooped down. They're just like, God. And you just think this person is just hungover. All of a sudden, they decide to bite people.
Yeah, no.
That's going to be bad. That's going to be jarring for people to watch.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a good show.
That's going to be a very good show. It's. I was wondering how they were going to do this, and they said, you know, it's going to be violent, but it's going to be a different kind of violent. You're not going to expect it. You're just going to be minding your own business, and then, it's like, what the fuck? So.
Well, at least it's different, because that's what I was afraid with the spinoff of Walking Dead, is that we ran into more of the same shit, and God knows that right now we have enough of the same shit.
Exactly.
So, no, I'm pretty happy with this. I mean, Kirkman right now is on my short list of let's see what you can do, because he signed on Transformers. Everybody would sign that contract right now.
And the upside is he's not the only writer on that team. He's got a bunch of other people who are also writing. So if they put their heads together, like in a real show's writing room, a bunch of writers saying, this works, that doesn't work. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's change it to this and blah, blah, blah. That's a good idea.
A writing tank.
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree. A writing tank. That would work. But yeah, if you just have, you know, Michael Bay doing, No.
Don't give more power to Michael Bay, please.
I don't care how much the Chinese love that film. It is crap.
It's.
It is crap.
A lot.
So much crap in the crap.
I should not know that, but I know.
So much crap.
That's my mistake.
Oh, God. Okay, so George R.R. Martin not only isn't writing anything for this season on Game of Thrones, he's not writing anything for next season on Game of Thrones because he's actually got to write the damn book. He's actually somebody, I don't know if it's his agent or people at HBO or something like that, but they sat him down and said, okay, dude, stop dicking around, write the fucking book. We will put it, put everything in some type of holding pattern so we can, like, when you come up with stuff, we can mesh into it and everything, but dude, write the fucking book.
Yeah, because he never thought this would go so high, and it's like he was like, oh, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, it's fun, but if you want the money cow to keep pouring milk, you need to feed her. So,
yeah,
write the freaking book.
Yeah,
I. So now they're inventing shit.
Pretty much. A lot of the stuff apparently that is in the show is not in the book.
So they're at the point where they're like, okay, where are you going generally? Oh, there. Okay, we'll do this, and yeah, you write.
We'll do this
thing
for a couple of weeks, and then we'll do this for a couple of weeks, and then by the time we catch up to you, hopefully everything will just mesh together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is the end.
Hell of a way to run a railroad. It's going to be interesting.
This is the end of Game of Thrones.
If they're not careful. If they're not careful.
Yeah, because, dear God, this has changed the game. Right now, you can produce a TV show for a movie price.
Yeah.
You could not do that a couple of years ago.
True. Very true. For those of you who are fans of Lincoln on S.H.I.E.L.D., there will be a lot more of him because he has been upgraded to a recurring role. So,
Ooh. Yes.
So, I'm thinking, the Sky and Lincoln are going to be doing stuff because they're both Inhumans and they both have powers and they both understand each other. So, yeah, something's going to happen there.
Hey, Sky's hot. Spoiler, I'm super late on that show, too.
Hey, Sky's hot. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, she is.
How far along are you on season two?
I need to start the back half of the season. Because at this point, I was like, I'm going to wait for Avenger to be over.
Okay.
And then I started watching Entourage and rewatching House of Cards and all that stuff, so you know.
Oh, it just gets better. Each episode just improves on itself, just better and better and better.
It has to.
Yeah.
This show had to, because when you're competing against The Flash, well,
which is such a damn good show.
The Flash is,
it's so disturbing. I don't understand why I love that show so much.
It shouldn't be that good, but it is.
It goes against all of the logic in my brain. It's like, nah, you should not be this awesome. You just should. Damn it. Okay, let me watch you again. It is really good.
Yeah. And we have a Gunna Geek podcast on it, The Crimson Comet, at crimsoncomet.com.
Damn right.
GunnaGeek.com.
And Dr. Suresh is going to be coming back to Heroes Reborn. I'm okay with it.
So everybody's coming back.
Except for, like, Siler and
Peter.
Yeah, and Peter and the cheerleader.
You know, I'm okay with the cheerleader at this point. I would like more Siler.
I would prefer more Siler, but he's not going to do it. I don't. The thing is, he could, if he wanted to, because God knows he's done enough American Horror Story, so it's not like he's afraid of TV.
Yeah,
so,
like, he's not working that much. I mean, he was doing a Star Trek movie every 3 years. So
exactly. So it's now Suresh, I don't have as much of a problem with, because he really was kind of the voiceover of the whole show, and he was, you know, kind of supposed to originally be the Professor X of the group and everything. But
I don't mind Suresh that much, to be honest. I would like Paul or Claude or Dr. Wu. I want Dr. Wu to be back. These kind of side character? That's kind of cool. I mean, it's cool that they have, like, HRG back, and that they have Hero. Those were the two must.
Yeah, those were kind of the two must-haves.
The other ones are just fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't want Peter back, though.
No, you don't need Peter.
Peter's too powerful. It's too Superman-y.
Yeah. So, and there will likely be a 24 spinoff. Mainly because Fox, in all honesty, the last 24 that they did get really good ratings. But here's the issue that Fox needs to remember: The reason it was so good was because it was short.
Yes, exactly. Because you know what? It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but it was short.
It was really short. And you know what? It was working because the character of Jack is done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say, he's a great character, a great invention, and you know, Kiefer Sutherland's playing perfectly. But he went through so much stuff at this point that you can't really build on it anymore. The guy went over heroin addiction in 24 hours. I mean, let's face it. At this point, there's not that much you can throw at him, but the concepts still work. So spin that off with another character that's starting from scratch.
Exactly.
Make Jack the villain.
See, now that could be good.
In space.
Exactly. Exactly. On the moon.
Yeah, on a moon station. Die Hard with Jack Bauer on the moon.
There you go.
Where is the villain?
It's
like Star Wars. Seriously.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? I'm sure if I go to the movie studio with that pitch, I can probably get money.
At the very least, you would get some raised eyebrows like, we're considering it. At the very least.
Yep. Kid might have
on the moon,
there.
You say? Yes, on the moon.
We can put time travel in there if you want.
Time travel? So, let's see. Elementary. I still enjoy Elementary. It kind of holds me over between Sherlock's.
Still on TV. Wow.
That's still on TV. But apparently John Noble, who is a brilliant actor, he was brilliant in Fringe. I loved him as Walter in Fringe, is going to be playing Sherlock's dad. So they're going to bring him in for a couple of episodes. But it's just the fact that he is still doing good work and he's on TV and everything like that. John Noble rocks. He is really, really good. If you give him a good script, he will just go.
I miss Fringe.
Fringe was so good. Yeah. Fringe was so fucking good. If y'all haven't watched Fringe, seriously, y'all, seriously, you watch Fringe because that was a damn fine program.
I watched the last three episodes like a month ago.
Mm.
I had never finished it, and I remember Beef was kind of pissed because the timeline don't allow.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it, I was like, oh, this is fine.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad, but it's like I can see Beef's point, but it's not like, you know, it's not horrible or terrible or anything. So, but yes, Bob Saget, he is going to be on that Fuller House thing. He better be fucking cursing because it's freaking Netflix. He should be able to.
Yeah, I didn't watch Full House, so that's the only thing I know about this thing is that they don't get the Olsen twins back, and people seem to be sad about that, and I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, it's not really that critical.
They don't look alike anymore, anyway.
They don't, so whatever. In movie news, theaters smelled what The Rock was cooking because people like disaster movies.
Well, what I've heard about this movie is that it is exactly what you expect it's going to be, but since The Rock is in it, it's kind of bearable because he is so charismatic and fun. So it's kind of back to those 80s action heroes or something like that. So.
Honestly, he is one of the reasons I'm actually looking forward to Shazam. I want to see what he does as Black Adam. I want to see what he does because, you know, as he can play, I mean, you know, if people who remember him from like the WWE when he was at a heel, he can be a bad guy. He can be a very good bad guy, and he can be a very charismatic bad guy.
If we read into the interweb, there was a rumor, but not a rumor. He actually said that you might see Black Adams before the date of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that since they have The Rock, they're thinking of bringing him into the Justice League? Not necessarily the Justice League, but in the Justice League movie? Could be. I mean, Batman
is
in Suicide Squad.
That's
not
a bad idea. Yeah, Batman is in Suicide Squad, and apparently with a slightly larger role than people thought.
Yeah.
But maybe that could work. That could actually work.
Because he can beat Superman. So
yeah, that's true.
Have you seen that guy? Have you seen that guy?
Dude is a... Here's the thing. I don't know who his tailor is, but when he's in a suit, he's still kind of...
Look great!
He looks almost normal. Almost. But he still looks big.
The dude is a mountain at this point. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how many steroids or whatever it is he put into his body. The dude is like insane large. Like he should not be able to walk through a regular door.
Maybe he's not.
Maybe.
I'm not inviting him here anyway, so we're okay. But yeah, his movie made way more money than it was tracking for.
Yeah.
And the studio was really happy. So, and The Rock needs this right now because he needs to prove that he can lead a movie, because every movie that he leads crash and burn because it's Hercules and it's disastrous and bad. Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy for The Rock.
Yeah. And Age of Ultron, I think Marvel's happy with them because they're still making the money. And even overseas, they are past $900 million.
They're making, and it opened in Japan this week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's going to,
Yeah, it's going to work. Marvel's happy, right now.
People
were like, oh, this is a failure. Didn't make as much money as the other. No. The first one is iconic because it's the first time. This one is we're doing it again. So it's normal that a little bit less people go see it. But people go see it again and again and again, it looks like. So, yay.
Yeah, good. I mean, it already passed like 1.3, so it passed 1.3 like this past Monday.
It's a money-making machine.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure it's going to have the longevity of a Fast 7, because...
No, I don't think so either.
Fast 7 had a good space where nothing
had a good
was coming
run.
Out. Yeah, and the thing was coming out for a month after, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
But under the heading of boo... They're not doing Tron 3. Now, here's the thing. I kind of understand where some of this is coming from. Tomorrowland did not do well at all.
It's not really... I'm sorry, Brad Bird. It's not a really good movie.
Everybody is saying it's not a really good movie.
The first one is great, but...
After that, it's kind of like...
Yeah, there's three acts in the movie, and they're worse and worse, so...
And the Tron Legacy apparently did not, you know, make the amount of money that they wanted, but Tron Legacy was good.
I like Tron Legacy, and it was a profitable movie for the studio.
Yeah, so, but it wasn't, like, hugely profitable.
Exactly. They thought they had a billion-dollar franchise.
Tron. You're not going to have a billion-dollar franchise with Tron. It would be nice if, but you're not going to.
So... I kind of understand the logic, but on the other end, I'm like, well, don't put $200 million in that one. Just put $100 million.
Yeah.
And make four.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, this is still good business, and then you can make theme park and crap like that. So have fun with that.
But exactly.
Anyway.
I would love to see a Tron theme park. That would be awesome. That would be amazing. And on top of that, you also have the actors who want to come back. You have the director who wants to come back. You have the writers who want to come back. You have all these people who are ready to go.
Yeah, but for the studio, you have the same people that made you the movie that did not met expectation. And on the other end, you're the studio that built that sci-fi franchise because you wanted your Star Wars, and you just bought Star Wars.
Yeah.
So this is becoming more of an accessory than anything else. Now you're like, let's put that money towards another Star Wars a year instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't see the business sense of it.
But yeah, I can see the business. But as a fan, it's like, man.
Come on, you had sets.
You know, you had sets. You had Olivia Wilde in the tight outfit. Come on. This is not it. Just anyway.
Yeah. All the world dreams are mad right now.
And speaking of, that thumping sound that you hear is my head banging against the desk.
Okay.
Because apparently Simon Pegg just finished writing the first draft of the script.
Oh, yay.
They're supposed to start shooting in under 3 weeks.
Oh, dear God.
What the fuck, people? Seriously, what the fuck? God damn it, you're going to fuck this up. You're going to fuck Paramount. Why? Just fucking put it on goddamn Netflix and make money. Do that.
But they think they have a $1 billion franchise. That's the word right now. Everybody wants that big franchise.
That $1 billion franchise. But the thing
it's not.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek, and I'm sorry. I know you're a huge Star Trek fan, but there's still some kind of a stigma, a little bit. It's less there than it used to be.
Yeah. But yeah. But the thing is, it's different science fiction. It's not shoot 'em up, bang, robbery, the heist, blah, blah, blah. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not Star Wars. It's not Marvel. It's not any of that. Star Trek is not supposed to be any of that in the first place.
Star Trek is supposed to be science fiction. And yes. That's space fantasy.
It's supposed to be a reflection on where we are as humans. You can't turn that into a heist film. No. You can't turn that into Guardians.
But that's what they want to do, because now they have the guy from Fast and Furious 5 and 6 that is saying that he doesn't know much about Star Trek and he wants to introduce new races and new stuff. And I'm like...
Why, people?
I'm like, this is the 50th anniversary. Seriously? We're not going 50th... back to Klingon for that?
Why don't you just, honest to God, I would rather have a movie where they're just dealing with Klingons and that's it. I would rather have that as the 50th anniversary, because at least that makes a little bit of sense. They don't know what they're doing. They think that somehow this is going to turn into a $1 billion franchise. And it is not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I just...
They're going to do stunts with the Enterprise. Are you ready with that? Tokyo. Yeah. Space Drift.
Exactly.
Star
they're going to do Space,
space Drift.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
But the problem right now with Simon Pegg is that he needs to learn to shut up. Because
yes, he does.
In the last couple of weeks, he lost so much geek creds. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's like I don't really even quite grasp where he got the thought in his head to even say that.
Me neither.
I don't understand why he would say to himself, you know what would be a good idea? Is to tell all the geeks that I have been a part of and that I have made money off of to basically say that they're acting like little children.
Maybe he has a bet and it was like,
And he lost the bet.
With a friend and he's like, look at this goes on fire.
He made a bet with Nick Frost.
Yes.
Nick Frost said, okay, if you lose this, you'll have to go on the air and say that all geeks are children. So Big's like, psh, I'm not going to lose this. Oh, damn it.
At this point, that's the only thing I can see.
Yeah.
Because
that's the only thing that makes sense. Because it's like, really, people, come on. Come on now.
It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
And as a fan, it just breaks my heart. Because it's not like you didn't see the 50th anniversary coming. It's not like you didn't say to yourself, oh, well, this is coming up. We should plan for it.
Yeah, well,
it's
we'll see what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
contrary to the Star Wars thing, where the fact that it's an independent company, I know it's Disney, but you know, Disney has been good to let their people run the way they run, so they kept Lucasfilm, and the fact that it's inside Lucasfilm, they were able like to hire fans this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Star Wars seems to go. It's like a Star Wars movie made by a Star Wars fan, which, you know what, at this point, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Star Trek, they went the opposite way. They're like, who's not a fan of Star Trek?
Yeah.
So you have
that... Why don't you guys write for it?
Yeah, so you have that studios trying to make something different with people that don't really like Star Trek. Instead of going like, okay, let's hire a bunch of fans and see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And once again, why do you have to put $150 million in your movie?
Don't understand it.
You know, I'm sure you can make a good Star Trek movie for $90 million at this point.
They could make a spectacular Star Trek movie and not spend a whole lot of money to do it. Because you don't, that's the other thing about Star Trek. You don't need huge special effects to make it happen. You don't.
Nope.
You just need a damn good story. That's it. That is literally all you need. Everything else is window dressing.
So, anyway, that's our advice on the next Star Trek, Mr. Pegg,
right.
Because we know you listen to the cast.
Of course he listens to the cast. Psh, come on. Come on, Mia. So Nick Fury is apparently not going to be in Civil War, but he is re-upping his contract with Marvel to come back for future movies.
Yeah, well, when I did the math, it makes sense because he had a nine movie contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you're Marvel, you want to play it safe, you need him for the next two Avengers, and mm-hmm. you still have two movies. So until you re-up his contract, you don't use it, and you make sure you have the character for the important movies.
Right.
But once that's re-up, please, more Nick Fury, because...
Absolutely. Great character. And he's awesome.
Yes, and at this point, he's the glue, so you need him a little bit everywhere. And
yep.
with the amount of people there is in Civil War?
Yeah.
Damn.
There can be a lot of people in that movie.
There were rumor of Red Hulk this week, and I was like...
Come on, people!
It's not
no.
because Thunderbolt Ross is in the movie that automatically we're going at Red Hulk.
Yeah.
No.
So, a new trailer came out for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's an action movie. It's the typical spy thing with Tom Cruise and with the crazy stunts and the blah, 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 blah. But it looks fun. It looks like a popcorn movie.
The last one was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty good, too, at the same time. I mean, it was a good Brad Bird movie. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I like this series because every director has put his kind of stamp on it. I mean, mm-hmm. the first one is a De Palma movie, and it fails.
Oh, absolutely.
The second one is a John Woo movie.
Totally.
Everybody agrees with that. Mm-hmm. Love it or hate it.
Right down to the birds flying in slow-mo.
Oh, yeah. Everything is there. So if you're a John Woo fan, I don't think that's a bad movie.
I am a John Woo fan, and I love that freaking movie. That is right down to the motorcycle fight. It's like, come on.
Yeah,
what's not to love?
Is it ridiculous? Yes, but that's the director putting his stamp. Then you have J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams. I think that's his first movie, too.
If it's not his first movie, it's his second or third. It's very, very early in the career.
And then you have Brad Bird. At this point, this is becoming like an alien.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the fifth one. You have a director that has done a couple of good things before. Jack Reacher was actually not bad. So, you know, I understand why he brought him to this. And, man, Tom Cruise strapped to an airplane. He strapped himself to an airplane.
Strapped himself to an airplane. And if you watch it, it's turning.
Yeah.
The sun is moving along. So it's turning. And he's still on the that's just crazy. He's just being a crazy man.
Yeah. How can I beat jumping a big building?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because, you know, before that, I had to beat, like, hanging off the side of a cliff. I even remember the interview that they had with John Woo when he was shooting that. And he's like, okay, we're going to have this cable over here and this cable over here, and we're going to have a stunt guy do it and blah, 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 blah. And Tom Cruise was like, no, you don't need all that stuff. I'll just, you know, I'll do this and I'll do my... And John was like, I'm going to kill Tom Cruise. I'm going to go to jail because I'm going to end up killing Tom Cruise.
Well, say what you want about the guy, but he likes these things. He likes the action stuff and being afraid or whatever, because... The things he pulls for these movies, it's still impressive. So,
yeah,
can't wait for that. Can't wait for Aquaman either.
Aquaman apparently is also going to be jumping a car between buildings because James Wan, who directed Fast and Furious 7, is going to be apparently directing both Aquaman, and this came out today. He's also going to be doing Robotech. So there was the rumor earlier on when this came out that he was going to be doing this instead of Robotech. He's also planning on doing Robotech.
You know,
so
why
his
not?
Dance card is full. He's going to be busy for a while.
Why not? The man has been given like a big sandbox before, and he's worked pretty well with it. I mean, Fast 7 made him a big name.
Mm-hmm. Now he can't go do F8 at this point.
Yeah, so give him Aquaman. I'm okay with that.
Totally.
That's going to be weird.
That's gonna be weird.
The big robot movie, sure, no problem.
Sure, why not? I'll do that.
I can see that, but the Aquaman movie, well, sure. Have
okay.
fun with that.
Now, just because The Rock can do like an action movie doesn't mean he needs to do all action movies. First of all, you do not need to do a remake of Big Trouble in Little China ever, because don't.
Why?
Don't do that ever. Why are you doing that? So apparently, they're doing that. And The Rock is going to be in big I don't know.
Well, your two choices are The Rock or Jason Statham.
It's true, but the thing is, don't get me wrong, The Rock does have comedic timing. He could do some of the silly shit that Kurt Russell did. But again, why? Why do you need to make a Big Trouble in Little China reboot? Why?
Well, that's the thing. Big Trouble in Little China is that kind of movie that can only come out at the start of the 80s and be cheesy without us caring. But do you redo that today, it's going to be a little bit like Total Recall.
Yeah.
Where nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All the hotness of Kate Beckinsale is not going to save it. It's not. And there was a lot of hotness of Kate Beckinsale in Total Recall.
Yes. On the other end, and that's the thing that I like about reboot, or anyway, when they try to reboot, is that it sends people back to the original.
Mm-hmm. So, and when they see the original, they're going to be like, oh, this is what they tried to do.
Yeah, because...
And didn't.
What is it, Poltergeist that just came out?
Yes.
And that nobody went to see?
Nobody went to see that movie.
Sale of the DVD went up 400%.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. There's a new Poltergeist movie. People went back and watched the old one.
Yeah, they went back and watched the original Poltergeist and went, oh, this is how it's supposed to be done. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then why am I paying $10-15 to go see it in a theater when I can just watch it here at home and have popcorn?
Yep. But so if they do a reboot, okay, whatever. Cast whoever you want then. Just send people back to the original again.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. That last one is interesting.
This last piece of news. Michael Fassbender. Now, the kicker was that they were trying to say that this is going to be a darker version of Macbeth. I'm like, there's a light version of Macbeth?
Yeah, that's my first question.
It's like, there's never
been
a light
version. Macbeth?
Macbeth is kind of fucked up, dude. But they are doing basically they're doing Macbeth, but they are basing a lot of the costumes and the sets and the, you know, the fighting and stuff like that based on how it was back in Scotland back in those days. Which, okay, fine. That's a nice little interesting twist that shouldn't hopefully take away from the story at all. But here's the thing. Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender, y'all. Michael Fassbender is no damn joke. He is not. The dude is a beast when it comes to acting. He is a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his time in big blockbuster movie is over.
Yeah, if he does like these type of smaller budget films where he can really shine, that's it.
I think he's going for his Oscar right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not with this one.
But he's going to go with something that's smaller.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to put him in there.
But he's going to build up to that because the man has talent. Lots of talent.
I still, every time I see him, I still flash back to that David commercial.
Yeah.
Where it is. And the thing is, I know a lot of people liked Alien Resurrection and all that stuff. But the one thing that to me was better than the movie was that short with him in it and just watching him. It just, the way he just could act with his eyes, the totally straight blank face, but the tear running down his cheek. It was just, just looking at it going, oh my God, who are you, dude?
You know what I want? I want a political drama directed by Ben Affleck with Leonardo DiCaprio and Michael Fassbender.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you have a movie.
Yeah.
Now you have a movie. I'm just saying, Warner Brother, you have all these people under contract.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That could work. That could actually work really nicely.
Yeah. You hire a Sorkin or something.
Yeah, to do the writing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You put all these people together and you're like, go, create.
Ah, so much awesome in that one.
Yeah.
That would be good. That would be extremely good.
You would have told me that pairing like 10 years ago, and I would have been like, you're nuts.
Mm-hmm. But now it's like, yeah, do that. That right there, yeah, do that.
Do that. Well, put Leonardo DiCaprio in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you True. Should be. It's like De Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to do a movie every 3 years, but...
Mm-hmm. But when he does it, you can't take your eyes off the screen.
It's because he researched it for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. He's that good.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is just like... Might be one of the best actors of our generation, if not
Now I have to see There Will Be Blood again. Damn it.
Yeah.
Because oh my God, that was so good.
That was so good.
It was so good. And I mean, from the moment the screen lit up with the and the music and everything, I'm like, okay, what the fuck is this? Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that is the news for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. And, yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.